Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
You get in the comparison game of how things work or how this guy's doing compared to how this guy. Everybody has their own set of issues, good and bad. Right, you can start looking at quarterbacks drafted in the same class or the class below you, or the class after you, and you're like, oh, this guy's here and this guy. And again, and I've been around all different quarterback rooms. I've yet to see that help any quarterback start to get in the comparison game. Well, this guy threw for four touchdowns last week. I need to throw for four. I've never seen that work. The guys that I've been around or I've seen or I've had conversations with who have really had who stayed in this league a long time at a high level, right? There is no comparison to them. All they're trying to do is be the absolute best.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David is under the weather. He's getting well. And we have Zach Zaidman here helping us out. And he is the ginger haired genius. And Zach, you've been around football a long time. Is that a realistic expectation? Listen, I understand what Dave Ragone is saying. They want Mitch to get better. They want Mitch to be Mitch, be you. Remember, that's the coach's credo.
The mantra.
Yeah, coach's creed. What do you make of the idea that it doesn't help to be compared to people? I think when the comparison doesn't work in your favor, it doesn't help to be compared with people. But if you were winning the comparison, then it's great to be compared to people, isn't it?
I just think the problem is that you just said be you. We don't know what Mitchell Trubisky is.
No, we don't know. We don't know. We don't have a clue.
And that's the biggest problem. You know exactly what Patrick Mahomes is. You know exactly what Deshaun Watson is.
Do you know, can I say this, and this is my fear, that Mitch's confidence has been affected by all of this. He has not had this kind of success. We saw when he came up last year, right? And came up. He's been up. But when they had the change in the new system, we saw, and then there was a breakthrough. Oh, okay, they're going to be good. And then there was an injury, and then there was flaws. And we haven't seen it come back. We haven't seen, and to sit there and talk about a quarter he had against Washington like that's some breakthrough, I don't think anyone feels that way, right? He learned from game two. I mean, I just think how low are we setting the bar? For the love of God, man, it's just crazy to me.
Yeah, you keep talking about Trubisky's confidence, and clearly that's not there. What about the organization's confidence?
Well, that's a bigger question.
In Trubisky?
Well, I would honestly say that the coach seemed almost the coach was so exuberant over having the quarterback change when Chase Daniel came in, and the fact that they won that game, and he talked about, oh, Chase, he's like a coach on the field. Not it almost made you feel like now the coach feels he can open up his offense a little bit, which is insane. I mean, I don't think anybody should be pleased when the backup quarterback comes in. I don't know the situations that would exist around the league. We've seen Teddy Bridgewater come in, and he's kind of your Nick Foles of this year, or is he? You got it. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl.
I'll take the hippie from Jacksonville or Kyle Allen in Carolina or Jacoby Brissett in Indianapolis.
Jacoby Brissett's been fantastic.
I just think that there are ways, instead of trying to figure out what Mitchell Trubisky is compared to some of the other guys, because you don't need, and that's the unfortunate thing. He hasn't even finished his third season in the league, yet you already know that he will never be compared from an ability standpoint to the guys that were taken after him in Mahomes and Watson. He's just not at that level, and he never will be. Now, you can't do anything about that right now. You're still a good team with a great defense, and you can win a lot of games. I don't know if you can win a championship that way, but you can win a lot of games. So going forward, How do you go about doing that? And the reason I brought up what's going on in New Orleans with Bridgewater and what's going on in Indianapolis is because those teams were forced to adjust on the fly. They didn't need an entire offseason to do it. They adjusted on the fly. So it is possible. You cannot run the Eagles' offense or the Chiefs' offense, which is what Matt Nagy's offense is, without good quarterbacks and good tight ends. And right now, I don't know what the Bears have at tight end. I know that Trey Burton is unreliable because he can't stay on the field.
That's a big problem.
And he's nowhere near the kind of player that Travis Kelce or Zach Ertz are.
No.
And neither is Adam Shaheen because he's unreliable. You don't know what he is as a player, but it's hard to find out when he can't take the field because of injury.
That's just a bad draft pick.
Right? So, and with Trubisky, we've seen this before. You don't know what you're going to get. It's like he's a more athletic Rex Grossman and a nicer Jay Cutler. There are going to be times where you see terrific play, but there are also going to be times where you see horrible play and you have no idea what you're going to get from a week-to-week basis.
The one thing that he hasn't done, this is you want to talk about damning with faint praise. The one thing that he has not done is turn the ball over. And once that begins, or if that begins, that's where you got to make a move. That's where you got to get a guy sitting down. But he has not done that. And that's something to hang your hat on. At least he doesn't turn the ball over. And if that is not the most insincere form of flattery, you know, when we say, as a texter points out, when we say we don't know what he is, what we're saying is he's no good.
Yeah, but you can still win a lot of games with him at the quarterback position. I think the biggest issue, instead of having the eulogy that we had last week following the game in London, the season isn't over. If we learned anything, anything during the bye week, it's that it's wide open in the NFC. Wide open.
I think I would even say if we learned anything, it is that this league more so, and you're saying wide open, but to me, I prefer the idea of week to week.
Yes,
the league is week to week. I mean, you don't know one week to the next who's going to show up and who's going to win, and it makes for a very interesting league. But I mean, good God, it's week to week.
Please call me Zach. But I think that the thing that stands out to me, Mully, is it's week to week because it's injury report versus injury report every single week. For example, instead of having Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara showing up at Soldier Field, in all likelihood, you're going to have Teddy Bridgewater and a backup running back showing up at Soldier Field, which gives you an opportunity to take advantage if you're the Bears, especially playing at home. I just think that unless you have the elite-level quarterback, and there are very few of them, but unless you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers or a guy like Tom Brady, I think you're going to have to compete on a week-to-week basis, but since they're very few and far between those elite quarterbacks, you have an opportunity, especially in the NFC. I know that San Francisco's unbeaten and Garoppolo's look good, but
Seattle looks good.
One of the reasons that the Rams felt compelled to make the deal that they made yesterday,
Minnesota,
right? I don't see Minnesota as having a quarterback that you know what you're getting on a week-in, week-out basis.
The last two games, he's played well. I don't know that he can keep it going, but wouldn't you take that from Mitch? A couple of games. And, you know, here's another element of it. What we've seen, you know, there's five games coming up that are supposed to be the toughest stretch of their schedule. Maybe they're not as tough as it looked. Maybe they're not, for the reasons you're saying, injury report, everything else.
But I do know this.
They can win all these games.
Yeah, you're right.
They'll lose two, but they could win them all.
Well, the other thing is, I think that at least when I look at the way the Bears are running their offense, it's time to change that. You cannot do what you anticipated going into the season.
Is Mitch is Mitch slumping? Is Mitch the problem, or is it the head coach / offensive coordinator? 312-644-6767. We'll get to all your calls next. Mully and Haw with Zach Zabin on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you're dealing with a throwing shoulder, that's always a whole different animal. Obviously, it's your livelihood depends on it. When it's a non-throwing shoulder, right, that's obviously in the back of your mind, it just plays out different. But in terms of coming back from an injury, yeah, sure, absolutely. There's always constant conversation physically, mentally, making sure you're on the same page, making sure you're going out there not thinking about it. Yeah, I think going through what we've been through with him already, that's obviously going to be one of the things we look for when he gets back to practice and making sure he's operating physically and mentally at 100%.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Zach Zaidman, the ginger-haired genius himself, kind enough to sit in this morning. And that is the voice of the Bears quarterback's coach, Dave Ragone. And really, let's not call him the quarterback's coach. He is the quarterback coach. Everybody there is the quarterback coach. All that matters is Mitch and Mitch's development when you talk about the guys in that room. And Dave's job is essentially to make Mitch better. That is Chase Daniel. That's his job. Tyler Bray, that's his job. All these guys are the idea. You got two guys that know the system that are on the roster. One guy's on the practice squad now, and they're trying to help Mitch. You got Dave Ragone trying to help Mitch. You got Matt Nagy basically moving in with the guy and mentally. You got Brad Childress. You got Mark Helfrich. All of them. The idea is to get Mitch up and running, to have Mitch as good as he possibly can be. That is a lot of brain power. That is a lot of support system. And it's time to see whether or not it's paying off any dividend.
I'd like to see it expand to just make the offense better. Put the offense in a position to complement the defense, because it is a great defense. And over the years, when you've watched the Bears be good, it is almost always because the defense is at an incredibly high level. They have pretty good special teams to boot. And then what you're hoping is that the offense doesn't mess it up and gives you an opportunity to win. And I don't think that that's been done. And what's interesting is in the NFL today, because no one plays their starters in the preseason, the first month plus of the regular season now is a feeling out period.
Right.
You don't really know what you've got across the board on any team until they actually play real games against real teams with defenses that you're not expecting, and how do you adjust and all that kind of stuff. And then you hit this point in the season until Thanksgiving, where the real teams begin to separate themselves. And then from Thanksgiving on till the end of the regular season, you're jockeying for playoff position, and you find out who's really going to compete for a championship.
And I mean, listen, here's the problem the Bears are facing right now, is that while everything you're saying is accurate, they are effectively two games behind the Green Bay Packers, because it's a game and a half because they've had their bye week, but it's also they lost a home game in the division, which counts a little bit too. That is a difficult one. So they play the Packers again week 15, right? Is that the next time Akeem Hicks will be available, I believe, if that's accurate? So hopefully he can heal up and be ready to rumble at that point. But let's get to the phone lines. We have a lot of people who want to check in. We'll start with Mark. He's in Ottawa. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, fellas. Hey, I've been listening to the show for like the last hour. You guys compared Trubisky to a lot of people and other, you know, other quarterbacks and support groups. But the only way he's going to be any good is if you have an offensive line that can block, and he just doesn't have that offensive line.
And Mark, you know, I don't discredit what you're saying. However, I think that we see a lot of quarterbacks that can overcome issues on the offensive line, and we see a lot of offensive lines that can buy time and do a good job strictly by the choreography of the group. You don't need to have, you know, if you look at the New England Patriots, they have saved money over the years on offensive line. They've gotten really good offensive line play, but that hasn't been the key to what has been their success. They're not putting many Hall of Famers in, right? And I think that there's a lot of different places where you could say that. And I think the Bears had this offensive line. They all played together. They brought them all back, and they were just expecting a lot more. I know they tinkered, but it's been a disappointment, no question about it.
I think part of the problem is the quarterback. You can't escape it. And it's making quick decisions, being decisive, having confidence that you know what you're seeing and how to respond to what you're seeing. And I don't think that's been there over the first month plus of the regular season. You saw it in the Denver game. But again, they limited what he could do. But that doesn't matter. I don't worry anymore about trying to figure out if Trubisky can be anything like Mahomes or Watson. Forget about that.
Yeah.
It's just a silly discussion to have. You won't see it. Right.
Yeah.
It's, you know what he is. So now the question is, how do you go about winning as many games possible with him as your quarterback?
That's right.
Because you can win a lot of games with him as your quarterback.
Yes, and you needn't look at the bigger picture of where he is and his development. Right now you're in the weeds, and you are battling on a week-to-week basis, and you got to find ways to win every week. Now, it would help if they could develop a running game, but they don't have the elements of a running game to begin with. They don't have the fullback. They don't have much power any power runners.
Right,
why don't they have those things? Because they got rid of the things that they had, and they don't want to run that kind of a system. So you got to kind of figure out a way. If the game plan has been to make Mitch a pocket passer and leave him there and force him in the pocket, then you got to figure out a way to make that work.
I think part of it is changing the run-pass ratio a little bit.
Sure.
Now, the Bears are not designed, as you said, to be a power-running team, say, in the way that...
But, I mean, you can't just keep running out of the shotgun. That's not going to work.
Right. They're not capable of doing what, say, Indianapolis does, where you know, hey, we're running it. We're telling you we're running it. Go ahead and try to stop the run. They're not capable of doing that. But there are ways to adjust. For example... Again, the team that's coming in this weekend to Soldier Field, you don't consider New Orleans a power running team.
Right.
But when Drew Brees went down, they found it. And sometimes it's a short pass that's entering of the run. But I just think you can balance things out a little bit better than the way the Bears have gone about it over the first month plus of the season. Now, part of it is making sure you get a little bit better quarterback play from Trubisky. But I do think you have other weapons on this team that aren't being utilized as best they can be. And I'm talking about Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery.
Well, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get to our guy, Dan Pompey, the Hall of Fame writer, is going to join us. But first, our guy, Kevbo.
I consider myself to be something of a Hall of Famer as well.
First, our guy, Kevbo. I'm sorry. You really want me to call you a Hall of Famer?
Sure.
Yeah. I think you gotta, you gotta put in some more years, buddy.
Yeah, I'm not eligible yet.
Not, no.
Okay.
You haven't had enough seasons.
All right, fair enough.
Right.
Scoreboard update.
All I can do is just put my head down and keep working.
Listen,
I just want to try to be better than I was the day before.
We love you.
Oh, okay.
And we're not ashamed to say it in front of the world.
It's good. But I appreciate that.
You're not quite there yet.
I'm getting there though.
Well,
one day.
Again.
All right.
We love you, but you're not even on track.
Okay.
Dan Pompey with Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We have the great Zach Zaidman sitting in for David this morning and delighted to bring Dan Pompey into the conversation. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. What a treat to have Zach in today, huh?
Yeah, he's a special kind of guy.
I'm lucky to be talking football with you guys.
Haven't talked to Zach in a while.
I miss the football conversations that we used to have.
Why won't you talk to him?
Some great conversation.
What is it, Dan? Why are you giving him the silent treatment?
No, it's the reverse. Oh, okay. I call him. I go up to him. He gives me a cold shoulder.
He big times you. He's Mr. Cubby.
He does.
I know it.
Yes.
I apologize.
Same to me.
Baseball is it takes up most of my time now.
Yeah.
But let's get to the Bears though, because you've watched this team every single game. You know what's going on behind the scenes. When you look at the offensive issues that the Bears have, what's the quickest way to go about making this team efficient from an offensive standpoint?
Well, as usual, when you have these kinds of problems, there usually is not a simple fix, and there's not one now. I think there's a lot of different factors that have led to their incompetence on offense. And, you know, you could look at execution at virtually every position, I think, offensively on the field. I mean, the only player who you could say really is playing up to expectations is Allen Robinson, right? I mean, is there anyone else? Am I missing somebody? You guys tell me.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right.
So, you know, when you're starting with that, you've got a very difficult a problem to overcome. And I think, you know, their best bet is to probably try to get back to what they did best last year. But obviously they have some different pieces now, especially with the injury to Kyle Long. It's another issue at this point. You know, I still think that simplifying is always a good thing when you're struggling. And, you know, I've been banging the drum about running the ball more ever since last year, and I still think, you know, that's always a good thing. But the problem is they haven't been able to run the ball. They just have not. I don't know if this team is not capable or what's going on. But, you know, when you can't get the ball downfield, it becomes very difficult to run the ball. And it also becomes difficult when blockers aren't getting out to the second level and making their blocks, and the running backs aren't doing everything they could or should be doing either.
Dan, were you surprised by the Kyle Long news? And, you know, it appears that he could well be cut off of injured reserve. I mean, it doesn't appear like he has a future in Chicago. I don't think anybody has implied that is the case. You know, we saw the incident in the preseason. I know he's hurt, but it seems like the fall from grace was pretty quick here.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, if not for the injury, we wouldn't be talking about this, but he clearly has been playing hurt this season and has not been himself. You know, when Kyle Long was Kyle Long, I mean, he was one of the top guards in the NFL. And the question is, can he get back to that point, or has he had so many injuries, so much abuse to his body that, you know, those days are over with? But, you know, the problem is I think he's got something like $8 million coming next year, and the Bears can get out of that. So, you know, you generally do not pay $8 million for a guy you're crossing your fingers on, hoping he can get back to what he was. So, you know, you never know. Maybe they work out a restructured deal or something, and he comes back. He took a pay cut this year. But, you know, if this is the end, you know, he's been a great Bear. I mean, he made our top 100 list in the book, the Bear Centennial scrapbook that Don Pearson and I did of the greatest Bears of all time. And, you know, I think, you know, he'll be remembered fondly for his kind of contributions here in Chicago.
Football's a cruel game that way, because his best years were on some of the very worst teams that the Bears have fielded in their 100-year history. And now the last couple of years, when the Bears have ascended a bit, you know, he's not been able to enjoy that because of the injuries that have ravaged his body and ended his seasons early. Big picture, you look at the NFC. We saw a monster trade yesterday with the Rams acquiring Jalen Ramsey. Are they doing this because when you look at the landscape of the NFC, there is no real top dog at the moment?
Well, I think they're looking at themselves mostly and saying, how can we be the best team that we can be, and how can we get back to what we were a year ago? And I think the Ramsey trade and also the Marcus Peters trade, you know, does two things. First of all, it slaps that team in the face and wakes them up and says, hey, what we're seeing here is not acceptable. We need a change, and we need a new start, and this gives them that. And the other thing it does, it gives them more capability to play man-to-man, which, you know, they felt like with their previous corners, Akib Talib, who's on injured reserve right now, and Peters, they were more of a zone team. And I know they like playing man, and they feel like that can help shore up some of their defensive problems. So, you know, I think it's an interesting move. And it's also a long-term move. You know, you're right. Talking about a,
you know, young cornerback who is the best in the game, probably, and a guy who should be a dominant player for many, many years, assuming they can sign him. The other interesting part of this is they did not sign him to a contract extension prior to the deal, so that's something that still needs to be worked out.
You know, the Bears gave up two first-round picks, a third-rounder, a sixth-rounder for Khalil Mack. They got a second-round pick back and a conditional fifth. When you look at that trade and you look at what what the Rams gave up, I got to tell you, I think the Bears got a better deal when you actually just look at it. And, you know, they got a future Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, I think I would do that trade 100 times out of 100 times. I was actually talking with a former NFL head coach last week who was telling me he didn't like that trade because he didn't like giving up two first-round picks for a player, no matter who it was. And, you know, we kind of went back in history. We were going back and forth about some of the trades for two first-round picks, and most of them are not good for the team that was giving up the first-round picks, because the player somehow always seems to not live up to expectations. Maybe sometimes the first-round picks end up being great picks that turn into stars. But, you know, I think at the point of the trade, there was no way you could say this wasn't a good deal. I think now there's no way you could say this wasn't a good deal, and I would bet that in 10 years you would still say I would do that over again. Maybe I'd even throw in another first-round pick.
Yeah, even if they didn't want it.
Well, I guess, you know, the other part of this, Molly, too, is, I mean, you know, take a look at two first-round picks of the Bears, any two first-round picks back-to-back.
Oh,
over
that's
the past,
so true, yeah.
You know, I mean, how many of those guys wouldn't you trade for Khalil Mack?
That's an indictment on what they've been doing with the draft, but you're absolutely right about that. My God, it's of course you'd give up those guys, but, you know.
But it's also an indictment of the draft, though. It's not not just the Bears, because there's not many people who you'd say, you know, oh, yeah, you know, every year they've got, or every 2 years they've got two great players that you wouldn't trade for Khalil Mack or another star player in the NFL.
So we talked about this idea, Dan, that the Bears come out of the bye week and they have the toughest stretch of their schedule, right? They're welcoming in the Saints. They're going to San Diego to play the Chargers. They got the Eagles coming in, a big game against the Lions in Detroit, and then, of course, the Rams. Now, when you look at that, does that seem as difficult as it once did? I mean, everybody's week to week in the NFL, and the Saints come in without their quarterback, without Kamara. I mean, I know they've been winning. Chargers don't look like the entity we thought they might be. The Eagles are struggling. I just think when you put all this stuff together, sometimes these schedules, you know, the tough games aren't the games that appear to be tough. It's not going to be easy to beat the Saints, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it doesn't look like an impossible stretch like it once did.
Well, you know, and if it does, it's because of what the Bears have become,
yes,
not about what these other
That's
teams
right.
have become. But, you know, this is a period of time where the Bears are tested. This is every team goes through, you know, a dark night of their season. And this is it for the Bears. And how they respond is going to define who they are. I mean, I think it's a critical stretch for the Bears, because they do need to bounce back and show that they are the team that they were against the Vikings and not the team they were against the Raiders. You know, it's interesting, because I think we're going to find out about the character of the team and the culture and those kinds of things, because that's what stands out when you go through a period like this. And, you know, look at the Saints. I mean, they lose Drew Brees and they go 4-0. Actually, 4-0 with Teddy Bridgewater as a starter. And nobody would have thought they could have done that. They've beaten some really good teams, too. And I know they're coming to Chicago now, expecting to win again. I talked with Sean Payton the other day, you know, and of course he's from Naperville. He was telling me that my normal trip to Chicago, I have to get 28 tickets for family and friends. He said 24 of them are going to be wearing Bears jerseys. He said, and then they're asking me if I'm going to buy the tickets. He said, I just want them all to know I have to pay for those tickets on the road. So if anybody's listening is getting a ticket from Sean Payton this week, just know he's paying for it.
Yeah, his cell phone is about to blow up right now because of what you just said on the air. Quickly, in terms of league issues, you know, the league meetings taking place, and there's been a lot of talk about the officiating, much more so over the first month plus of the season, and I think the NFL would want. What bothers you the most about what's transpired this season about the officiating?
Well, if we could invent a word, I'd say they've been over-officious. You know, I mean, we've just got way too much attention to detail and meaningless calls. And, you know, I think the officials have become what we're talking about on every Monday, and that's not what the NFL wants at all. Obviously, there was a game the other night that the officials, you know, made so many mistakes in that they prevented the right team, the Detroit Lions, from winning the game, and the Packers won the game. And we've seen these things before. Some of these things are inevitable. They're always going to happen. Football's a hard game to officiate. You know, it's a hard game to write a rule book for. You know, I think over the years, there have always been some problems with officials, but I don't know that, you know, it's ever been as bad as it is right now. You know, they've got to go back and really look at some things. You know, I think they need to look at the replay rule because I think they made it worse and not better. I think they need to have full-time officials at this point just because they need to do something. I don't know how much better that's going to make it, but if you've got guys who are completely devoted to being officials, it's not going to hurt, I could tell you that. You really need to look at the whole structure of how things are being done and who's doing them and seeing if there can't be improvements made at every level.
All righty, Dan. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, guys. My pleasure. Thank you.
That's our guy, Dan Pompey. And just to clarify what the schedule is, I was trying to do that off the top of my head. I know the teams, but I was wrong. The Bears are hosting the Saints. Then they're hosting the Chargers. Then they go to Philadelphia. Right, then they host the Lions, and then they go to the Rams. So that's what the next five games are, and it looked like the toughest stretch of their schedule at one point. And I don't know that it still does. And I think Dan is accurate. If it does look like the toughest stretch of the schedule, it's more about the Bears than the teams they're playing.
That's a great point.
How about home to Dallas at Green Bay, home to Kansas City at Minnesota? In December, that could be the toughest stretch.
Well, the last three games, you'll have Akeem Hicks back, presumably, or eligible to come back, right? So that's a big deal.
If those games at the end of the season that Kevin just mentioned matter,
Do the Cowboys scare you? Do the Giants scare you? Come on.
Not the Giants. Cowboys a little bit.
But here's the thing. If
the
way you look at the Bears right now, if those games at the end of the year matter, the Bears would have fixed many of the issues we've been talking about over the last two-plus weeks.
Yeah. All right. We're going to bring Rich Campbell in. We'll ask him if they fixed anything. We'll talk to him next. Mullion Haw, Zach Sabin on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.